Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. The king of mountains, mountain king. And he's present in different forms, as you can see. How fortunate we are. So let us just invoke the mood of going down a little bit by going on a little perimeter. Let me just orient myself here. Where are we? Where is where? What's that? Aha, okay. So, okay. Okay. So let's do a little Govinda Parikrama. Because you know that in the Bhagavatam, the Lord says you have to observe Govinda Puja very nicely, because if you don't, then the snakes on Govinda Hill will come and get you. And you may think, wow, I'm here in Phoenix. They're all the way over there at in India and go downhill. But don't worry. They can get around. So we'll start our parikrama here, I think, at Mansiganga. Mansiganga is here. Right in the middle of go downhill. Let me just check now. Sure. Okay. Just try and orient ourselves. This is rather quick than shower quick, isn't it? I guess. That's good. So, Mansiganga is a very nice part of going downhill right in the middle. And there are many pastimes that happen there. We'll just mention a couple of pastimes. One time, Krishna killed the demon Vatsasura. Vatsasura. Vatsa means calf. The calf demon. Krishna called Vatsasura. And he came over here to where Mansiganga is. Although at that time Mansiganga was not manifest yet. And Krishna told the gopis, he sort of boasted that killed another demon. Gave him a couple of what happens. And that was a dead demon. The only good demon is a dead demon. So, Krishna is sort of boasting to the gopis that I killed another demon, you know, I'm a tough guy. And Srimati Radharani turned to Krishna and said, we heard about that. You killed a baby cow. A baby cow. Vatsa means cow. And Krishna said, well, not really. He wasn't really a cow. He was a demon. He just assumed the form of a calf. So, you know, it's not the same thing. But Radharani said, it is. Don't make excuses. You killed a baby cow, and we will have nothing to do with you again, ever. And Krishna said, well, what can I do to become free from that contamination? And the Gopi said, you have to take bath in the Ganges. And Krishna said, the Ganges, that's hundreds of kilometers to the north. I'll have to leave Vrindavan, I can't do that. And the Gopi said, well, look, that's just your problem. That's your problem, it's not our problem. We will not have anything to do with you until you have done that and purified yourself. So then Krishna said, all right, let me do one thing. And Krishna called out, Gangamai, Gangamai, Gangamai. And he manifested from his mind Manasi Ganga right there in front of them. This whole body of water is actually a river at that time, just manifested. And Krishna said, okay, there it is, it's the Ganges. I'll take a bath here and be purified. And the Gopi said, but how do we know this is the Ganges? The Ganges is a long way away. And this can't be the Ganges. And Krishna again called out, Gangamai, Gangamai. What did he call out?
Gangamai, Gangamai.
He called out seriously. What did he call out?
Gangamai, Gangamai.
And who should come out of Manasi Ganga, but Ganga Devi riding on her crocodile. As Lord Vishnu rides on Garuda, Lord Shiva rides on Nandi the bull, so Ganga Devi rides on a sort of like a crocodile, it's actually called Makara, which is like a giant crocodile type aquatic creature. And she just came up out of the middle of Manasi Ganga. And you don't often see women emerging out of bodies of water sitting on giant crocodiles. So they accepted, all right. This must be the Ganges. And Krishna took bath and came out and said, see, now I'm purified. And the Gopi said, okay, that's fine. We will accept your association again. And they started approaching Krishna. And Krishna jumped back and said, get away from me. I am now completely pure. And look at you, girl, you village girls. You're covered in dust and dirt. And you keep away with me because I'm very pure and I don't want to be contaminated by you. And so the gopis took bath at Manasi Ganga. And, you know, as they say, they all lived happily ever after. Another thing that happened at Manasi Ganga was that a saintly person, traveling mendicant, he came and visited Vrindavan. They had a big program that evening with him. And he explained to all the Brijbasis, I was just there by the Ganges to the north. And you know what happened? Garuda, the bird carrier of Vishnu, he came flying across the Ganges. And hanging from his claws underneath him was a snake. Because you know, devotees, Garuda is non-veg. That's not an excuse for any of you. You know, I was sitting on an airplane a couple of years ago, an airline called Kingfisher Airlines in India, and they were sort of trying to be like very Western and very cool. You understand what I mean by cool? Sort of groovy. Instead of trying to be like that, very mod. And they had these little girls as the air stewardesses with mini skirts on, red mini skirts, all these little like 19, 20, 21 year old girls. And they're serving the people that are sitting there. And this little girl came up to me. I was sitting there, dressed as I am. They were distributing their meals. And she walked up to me and she asked me, veg or non-veg? And I thought, that's it. India is finished. If you have to ask someone like me, veg or non-veg, you lost it. If you ever had it, you lost it. So, okay, anyway, the Garuda is non-veg, and he's a big devotee, but don't ask any questions about that. So anyway, Garuda flew over the Ganges with the snake hanging down from his paws, and this devotee is explaining, the tail of the snake went through the Ganges, and right there in front of everyone's eyes, the snake transformed into a four-armed resident of Vaikuntha and went back to Godhead right in front of our eyes. And Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father, jumped up and said, Jai Vaikuntha! Let's go to Vaikuntha! Let's go to the Ganges and take bath there. We'll go to Vaikuntha. And Krishna was not very happy because they're residents of Vrindavan. And Vaikuntha, even though it's higher than Phoenix, but it's not on the same level as Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is the highest. And it's just in a class of its own, actually. So Krishna was disappointed that now all these Vrajbasi devotees, they want to go to Vaikuntha. So then he thought, okay, I will take them to Manasi Ganga and show them. And Nanda Maharaj was saying, let's go to the Ganges, let's go now. So Krishna took them here to Manasi Ganga. He told Nanda Maharaj, see, look, it's the Ganges is here. And it is the original Ganges. The one to the north, that big river up there to the north. It is just an expansion from Manasi Ganga, which is the case in the holy dharmas. Means Vrindavan Dham and Mayapur Navadvip Dham. There are so many holy places that you find around India. In Vrindavan Mayapur, you find the original places, and like the Ganges, that the other places around India have expanded from. So Krishna said, okay, look, there it is, there's the Ganges, take bath, you don't have to leave Vrindavan. And Nanda Maharaj also said, how do we know this is the Ganges? How could it be the Ganges? We're such a long way from the Ganges. And again, Krishna called out. What did he call out?
Gangamai! Gangamai!
And out from Manasi Ganga came Ganga. Anyway, she's there. She's sticking to her crocodile. So, and then they were convinced. And they took bath there, and they were happy. And they didn't have to leave Vrindavan. So now we're coming along through the Dhangati area. Dhangati means the place of the tax collecting pastimes. And you may have even met a devotee called Dhangati. Did you ever hear of such a person? He's a heavy tax collector. So, okay. But Dhangati is an area just down from Manasi Ganga where Krishna and the cowherd boys charged the gopis tax. It is a long story. In Krishna consciousness, we have many long stories. But we will tell it very briefly that the gopis were coming with their lots of yogurt, ghee, and various other things on their heads. They were carrying, you know, they normally carry at least 3 pots. 1, 2, 3. Sometimes 4. Can you ladies do that? Phoenix ladies? No! How could you be gopis? And I saw one time, I was there somewhere in Vrindavan, a place called Didavali, where Mother Yashoda's mother was born. And there's this big, big well, where the whole village, everyone gets their water from. And the ladies, they have, you know, 3 or 4 even, big pots, like 10-liter pots on their heads. And a couple of ladies, they got into an argument. The British buses tend to be very fiery. Here in Phoenix, people are more sort of, should we say, peaceful, or we won't say to us, but anyway, they're not as fiery as the people there in Vrindavan. Wow. So these two ladies got into an argument, and before you knew what had happened, one of them gave the other one a fall. What happened? The fall. Body force. Wow. And another lady, her head, you know, sort of went almost and then she gave the other lady one. And then there was a whole fist fight. It was a real battle right there at the well. But they didn't drop their pots from their heads. See, this is the advanced level. First of all, you've got to be able to carry the pot to start off with it. So anyway, they stopped the gopis and said, "What are you girls doing? We know what you're doing here. You're trying to find a secret spot to sell your dairy products at an inflated price on the black market." So there's this whole big argument between Krishna, the cowboys, and the gopis. And the boys would not let the gopis pass. They said, "You cannot go until you pay tax." And the gopis said, "Oh, all right, how much? No, we wouldn't mind giving you an old 1 cent coin if you insisted." And Krishna said, "No, no problem. Just for each girl all we need is 5 handfuls of diamonds. That's it. That's all. No problem. And there we go. Just carry on. So of course the Goons couldn't do that. So then Krishna said, this one. Anyway, one of them, Radharani, we have a special tax for you. And then Krishna went from the head, the top of the head of Radharani, down to the bottoms, the soles of her feet, and charged a fantastic tax for every part of her body. For the parting in your hair, you must pay 100,000 sapphires. And for your hair, you must pay 1,000,000 diamonds. For your forehead, you must pay thousands and thousands of emeralds. And for your eyebrows, which are like bows, as in bow and arrow, for those eyebrows of yours, you must pay 100,000 bows made of gold, studded with rubies, because the gopis, from their eyes, because the eyebrows, they're like bows, the gopis fire arrows at Krishna. Are you aware of that? The sidelong glances fired from their eyes, and so the eyebrows are like bows. And do you know how to do that? Did I talk about that last year? I didn't. Anyway. Because the gopis, when they come back to the village, they just want to see Krishna. But their parents are watching them to make sure that they don't look at Krishna, because the moral standards are very high, extremely high, and no sort of playing around between the boys and the girls at all. They cannot even look at each other. And their parents are just watching them like hawks. Are these girls going to look at Krishna? So the gopis have perfected the practice of glancing very quickly at Krishna. So quickly that even though the father and the mother, there's the mother, see, are watching them to see who are they looking at Krishna, but they can glance so quickly at Krishna and back that the parents do not even notice. They think that the gopis are just looking straight at them, but actually they glance and look back. Can you do that? Can you do that? A fast. See how quickly you can glance to the side. Come on, give it a try. No. She is too slow. She is really slow. You know, you've got to be able to do it quickly. Just watch my eyes. Just watch my eyes. And see, if you can see me, I'm going to glance and look at Krishna Charan. Okay? So just watch my eyes. Did you see that? So anyway, So Krishna charged this incredible tax, just totally out of this world, and said, well, just pay that, until you pay it, you're not going anywhere, and it's okay. So the gopis couldn't pay, and Krishna and the cow boys would not let them go. So it was like a sort of checkmate type situation and impasse. And then Madhu Rangal's sister, you know what her name is? Madhu Mangal's sister. Her name is Nandi Mukhi. She came and she did some negotiations and she said, look, no problem. I will make, because these girls cannot pay you now. So you're wasting your time. Let them go and I will promise they will come tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock and meet you at this kund here. They said there's a kund there and they will pay the tax. So that was the deal. 11 o'clock the next morning. But then the gopis came at 10 o'clock and hid behind the trees. And when Krishna and the cowherd boys came at 11, feeling very, you know, sort of chauvinistic, see, we got those girls, stupid girls, what use of girls? You know, they can't run fast, they can't even fight, they cry all the time, we got them. So, but now the gopis were hiding behind the trees and they jumped out and caught Krishna and the coward boys and tied them to the trees by their seekers. And then the gopis started beating up Krishna and the coward boys. Yeah, like a real action scene. Bang! Whack! Wallop! And so on. And Krishna and the coward boys were just crying, stop, stop, please stop, let us go. And the gopis said, okay, we'll let you go, but you let us off the tax. And Krishna and the coward boys said, yes, yes, don't worry about the tax. Forget the tax, it's all right. And therefore, this kund, where this all happened, it is called Dan Nivarta Kund, the kund where the tax was nullified. And it's still there, just near our ISKCON temple, just a little past our ISKCON temple. Then if you go a little further down, let's see, well, you come to Govinda Kund. Govinda Kund is very important place here at Govardhan Hill, because it was here that the big Abhishek was performed for Krishna after the whole lifting of Govardhan and everything. It's a little bit of a long story, but Indra sent the storm, amazing storm. There were huge, massive clouds, shaped like elephants. There were clouds shaped like crocodiles. There were clouds shaped like snakes and different colors that all came and started pouring and pouring rain on Vrindavan, trying to destroy everything. And then Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, all the bridge buses came underneath, and Krishna saved the day completely. So, after a week, these clouds, they were just pouring and raining. It was a massive storm, enough to destroy the whole universe. And after a week, Indra assumed that the whole place will be wiped out. So he came to see, and what did he see? Vrindavan was like normal. There was no flooding, no dead bodies, no buildings destroyed, no trees knocked over. It was just like normal. It was really nice. And Indra was bewildered. How could it be like this? We just had a storm big enough to destroy the whole universe. And then I come, and everything's like normal. And there's not even any flooding at all. What is the meaning of this? And Indra thought, people say that this Krishna is God. But I thought, no, he's not God, not him. He's just some ordinary village boy. He is just another Krishna. There are many young men named Krishna. You may know some from. There's Krishna down in Chatsworth Unit 2. Everyone calls him Chris. He's embarrassed to say my name is Krishna. And then there's the one from Unit 6 who says, well, my name is Krish. And Lord Indra was thinking, I thought this Krishna was like one of them. I didn't think he was that Krishna, from up there, right up there. Goloka Vrindavan. Oh my God, what have I done? Don't tell me I was trying to kill the Krishna and Radharani. Is that what I did? Oh no. So it's a long story, but Indra understood, I've made a terrible mistake. I've made just a most horrific mistake. I meant to be a devotee, but I just tried to kill my Lord and all his associates. But it was a mistake. Did any of you ever try to kill someone and then realize, whoops, wrong person? I sincerely hope not. But if that happened, what would you do if you found out, oh, wrong person? What do? You go and say, sorry, mistake. Don't worry, don't take it too seriously. So he didn't know what to do. And Indra just became totally overwhelmed. What have I done? What have I done? Oh no. And Indra felt, I cannot go on any longer. It's too much. This is too bad. So Indra picked up his jewel-handled dagger and was just about to drive it into his own heart to take his life because it was just too much. He just could not go on any longer. And his guru, Brihaspati, came and stopped him and said, what are you doing, you fool? What are you doing? He said, why are you bothering to commit suicide? You're already worse than dead. So, anyway, again, it's a long story. And eventually Indra went and fell at Krishna's feet, and Krishna was very merciful to him. And they came around to Govinda Kund, and they had a big abhishek, a big bathing ceremony for Krishna. And at the end they offered unto him all the demigods were there, and the seven main sages were there, and all the sacred rivers and lakes and kuns were there in personified forms. The demigods offered arati to Krishna, but when they offered arati, they used real demigod paraphernalia. They had agarbattis, like 3 meters long and about that thick. Do you get them at Haribo's? I don't think so. An Agni whose body is made of fire. Fire is just pouring out of his head. He was offering the agarbatti to Krishna. And Lord Brahma, four-headed Lord Brahma, he was waving the chakra. And Lord Shiva, Panchamukhi Shiva, five-headed form, he was offering the peacock fan. But these were like big, huge things with solid gold handles. Just incredible paraphernalia. So they did the Abhishek, the arati, and they just left everything and went. You know, in Vedic times, people were so opulent that at least the Kshatriyas, the wealthy people, they would eat only from solid gold plates. And when they finished the meal, throw the plate away. Solid gold. I know some devotees, they reuse their paper plates. And I know some, I know a number, who definitely reuse their little plastic cups and plastic spoons. Oh yeah. The paper's thrown away. Got solid gold. So the demigods just left all this paraphernalia. And there's Krishna still sitting on the throne there in Govinda Kund. And the cowherd boys came and they picked up this paraphernalia. But it's demigod size, and they're just small cowherd boys. So one cowherd boy, he picked up the agarbatti. And he could be able to hold it in two hands. To Krishna. And another boy picked up this chakra. And yeah, huge chakra. And they're offering all these things to Krishna. And then Nanda Maharaj came. And he saw this. And he asked them, "Where did you get these things from?" And Madan Mangal, Krishna's funny Brahmin friend, you know, he's sort of pretty cool character. He just said, well, you know, there was a cow here, she was talking and offering prayers. And then this man, you see that agarbatti? There was this man, he had flames coming out of his head. It was ugly. He was offering the agarbatti. Then there was another man, he had four heads. He was offering the chakra. And then there was another man with five heads. Panchamukhi Shiva. He was offering the peacock fan. And yeah, this is what was going on. And Nanda Maharaj was thinking, "What? A cow talking?" And so on. They thought, you know, these boys have been in the sun too long today. So that was that. That was the end of the Govardhan Puja, actually. So, but we come down past Govinda Kund. And we come to the Dhokha Dalchi Temple. Dhokha, in the local dialect, means watching. It's, you know, yeah, anyway, it's a sort of transformation of something like Deko. You know, you're looking. Dhokha. Dhokha. The Brijvasi language, it's a dialect of Hindi. They say it's what Krishna speaks in Goloka Vrindavan. But it's a very informal language. You know, if you're familiar with Hindi, there's aap and tum. They only use tum, there's no aap. It's very informal and very rough language. So, Dhokha Dalchi. Balaram, Dalchi is Balaram, the older brother. You know the song? Krishna Kanaya, Dalchi Kabaya, and so on. We won't get into it right now. Krishna Kanaya, Krishna Kanaya, Krishna Kanaya, Krishna Kanaya. Say it's okay. So one time Balaram was sitting on the hill at this point, and he saw Krishna having the spring rasa dance starts from the southern end of Govardhan Hill down here, and then it swings out through the surrounding areas. And Balaram was there, and he saw Krishna, and he just became stunned, completely stunned, seeing the beauty of the rasa dance. And his mukut, his crown, fell off his head and came bouncing down the hill and landed on one rock. And the rock became so ecstatic by the touch of Lord Balaram's crown, the rock melted. And you could still see the mark there of Lord Balaram's crown. It's called the Mukut Shila, just down immediately beneath the Dhokha Dalchi temple. So we come down further. We come to another Sarakund. Then we come to the Lota Baba temple. Lota. Lota means waiting. Lota Baba, waiting Baba. He's waiting for Krishna to come back. When Krishna left Vrindavan, he went and said goodbye to everyone. And he said goodbye to Lota Baba. And Lota Baba asked him, "When are you coming back?" And Krishna said, "Tomorrow." And Lota Baba said, "I just have a feeling you're not coming back." And Krishna said, no, I'm coming back. If not tomorrow, the next day." And Lota Baba said, "But I just have this feeling you're not coming back." And Krishna said, "No, if not the day after tomorrow, the day after that. And listen, just wait here. Just wait right here. Right here. And don't move. And you'll see, I'll be back. I'll be back probably tomorrow." So Lota Baba sat down and said, "Okay, I am waiting here. I am not moving one inch till you come back." So next day Krishna didn't come back. Lota Baba was still there 24 hours. The day after, Krishna did not come back. Lota Baba was still waiting. The third day Krishna didn't come back. 72 hours. Lota Baba was just standing or sitting on the same spot. And Krishna did not come back. Then 1 week passed, then 2 weeks, Then a month passed and Krishna did not come back. But the lotus bowl was still there after 1 month. And then 3 months. Then 6 months passed and Krishna had not come back. But the lotus bowl was still right there on the same spot. And then 1 year passed, then 2, then 3, and Krishna had not returned. But Lota Baba was still waiting there. Then 5 years, then 10 years, then 20 years, Krishna did not come back. But Lota Baba was still sitting there waiting. Then 50 years, then 100 years, but Lota Baba was still waiting. Eventually, Krishna came back 4,500 years later as Lord Chaitanya. And Lota Baba had turned into a deity. And Lord Chaitanya came and embraced the deity of Lota Baba and said, "See, I told you I'd come back." And Lota Baba is still there. You can go and see Lota Baba even today. He's a very good example of determination in devotional service. Perseverance. See if you can persevere for 4,500 years. Or even sometimes 24 hours. So that temple's there, down at the bottom. And then we come around this side. And there is Rasastali. You may have even heard of a devotee called Rasastali. That's her place. That's where the spring rasa dance starts. The Shalad or autumn rasa dance starts at Bansi Vat in Vrindavan town. But the spring rasa dance begins here at the southern end of Govardhan Hill. And we're coming at this side. And we come to Surabhi Kund and the Airavata Shila. You must look in our book when you get your copy of our book, of course. Hare Krishna. You must look. There's a nice picture of the Airavata Shila. There were four. Now there's only one left. When Lord Indra came flying in to apologize to Krishna, he came flying in on his elephant, Airavata, and they were moving so fast, Airavata crash landed on Govardhan Hill. Yeah, and his feet just came crashing into the rocks, and his feet, elephant feet, big elephant feet, they made impressions, they sank into the rocks. So there were four of these Airavata Shilas with the footprints of Airavata. Now there's only one, but you can see it and you can have a look at the book and you can see it there. And then Lord Indra, there's Indra Kunda's there, Surabhi Kunda's there, Rudra Kunda's there, where Lord Shiva came in to attend that big Abhishek. They're all in that same area. It's a very nice area, actually, of Govardhan Hill. And then we come around, and we enter Govardhan Town again. We enter Govardhan Town. And we pass by the back of Manasi Ganga. We're already halfway round. How's that? That's pretty good. Yeah. Coming around the back of Manasi Ganga. And then there's a long stretch from Govardhan Town. Coming up, what is it, the northwestern side of Govardhan Hill. There's a long stretch, and there's not so many places there. You just walk, basically. Not so many kuns and pastime places. Until you reach Uddhava Kund, which is here, maybe it's this one here. Yeah, one of these kunds here. Uddhava Kund. This is a famous place, and it's a nice place, and very nice devotee is running the temple there, a very friendly devotee. So, when Uddhava, if you've read the Bhagavatam, you would see that Uddhava, after Krishna left Vrindavan, Uddhava took a message from Krishna to the gopis in Vrindavan, at Nandagram actually. So, Uddhava, he read this message from Krishna. Really amazing message. Beautiful, beautiful message. It's in a book of Rupa Goswami's called Uddhava Sandesh. And it's really very special. So Uddhava recited this message to the gopis, and he saw how they were reacting. He saw their attachment for Krishna. And he saw how Radharani, when she heard this message from Krishna, she started going a little mad. And there was one bumblebee around. And in this altered state of consciousness, Radharani started talking to the bumblebee. And she said, "I know who you are. You're a servant of Krishna. I can tell because you have the same nature as Krishna through his association. Krishna, he would enjoy the gopis. Enjoy one gopi when he finished with her. He'd just leave her go and enjoy another gopi. And you're just like him. You go to one flower, take all the pollen and nectar, and when you're finished with it, you just leave it and go to the next flower. You're just like Krishna." She said, "You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master." And she said, "Even you're the same color, black and yellow." Because Krishna is blackish and he wears a yellow dhoti. Yeah. "So you're just like your master." And then the bee went flying away. And Radharani became anxious that maybe he's going to tell Krishna what I said. Oh, how I was insulting Krishna. Oh, no. And she got great anxiety. Then the bee, who was just a bee, actually. He was just a typical bee who just happened to be buzzing around. The bee came flying back. And Radharani thought, I better be nice to him now. So she then spoke very differently to the bee. And she said, "Oh, you are such a nice bee. In fact, you are just like your master Krishna, who is also so sweet. You've got honey all over you all the time. And you're very sweet, just like Krishna. Oh, you're so wonderful, and Krishna is so wonderful." And Uddhava heard all of this and saw all of this. And Uddhava was just completely astounded. What sort of devotee is this Radharani? She's just on another level altogether. So there's only the thought that I need the mercy of these gopis. Then, after he spoke the message, he left. And he went riding, going back to Mathura. And he passed by Govardhan Hill, where this kund called Uddhava Kund is now. And all the time he was just thinking and thinking how amazing these gopis are, how totally dedicated to Krishna they are. And I need their mercy. So then he thought, as he passed by that kund, he thought, I should take birth here at this kund as grass, because then maybe the gopis will tread on my head if I am grass here. So he prayed for that. Let me take birth here at this kund as grass. And even if the gopis, you know, even if it's too much to ask to be born here, at least let me be born just outside of Braja. Because then maybe when the gopis walk and they kick up some dust with their feet, maybe some of that dust will be carried by the wind and will land on my head. Just see the humility of Uddhava. So they say that Uddhava, that all the grass there in Uddhava Kund is Uddhava. That's what they say. And you know what one devotee told me, or asked me actually? He said, you know, sometimes here in Durban we get a strong northeasterly wind. Means it's coming from the direction of India. And he said, do you think that some of the dust from Vrindavan might be picked up by that wind coming from India and be carried all the way here to us? What do you think? Well, you know, it might sound a little far-fetched, and I think it is. But don't forget, this is Durban. You've heard of Vrindavan, the forest of Tulsi, Vrindavan. And then there's Taliban. And there's Mahavan, and Baalvan, and Bandiravan. There's all these vans, or they usually pronounce it Ban. So Vrindavan. Vrindavan. And this, ladies and gentlemen, this is Durban. Dur, you know the word Dur? Bahudur, eh? Long way and very difficult way. So this is Durban, the most distant forest of Vraja. So maybe some of the dust is carried here by the northeastern wind. So Uddhava is there in the form of grass. And after Krishna left the planet, then the queens of Dwarka, they were all thinking, how can we get Krishna's association again? Because he's gone now. But we need his association. And one of the queens suggested that when the gopis felt separation from Krishna, then Uddhava came and spoke to them about Krishna. And then their feelings of separation were mitigated. And they felt that they were in Krishna's company again. So all the queens, they thought, right, we need Uddhava's association. But there was a problem. Uddhava had also left this world. But then one of the queens, I think it was Kalindi, she said, no, Uddhava is still present. He is present in the grass at Udavikun. So let us go there and have big, hurry loves and kirtan. And maybe Udava will come out of the grass and then speak to us about Krishna. So they did that. They went to Udavikund and they had big hurry loves and kirtan. And sure enough, Udava came out of the grass. And he took them around to Manasi Ganga. It's just directly across the hill. Kusum Sarova. And then he spoke to them for 1 month, 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Chobis Ganta. Yes. For a whole month, he recited Srimad Bhagavatam to the queens. And gradually the queens, they all just went back to Godhead as he was reciting. So it all happened there, one of the Kurne Kusumas Road just across. Then we come around Radha and Shyamakund, the liquid forms of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna were in such ecstasy, meeting together here, their bodies melted. And Radharani's body is in a liquid form as Radhakunda, and Krishna's body is in a liquid form as Shyamakunda. So you have to be very careful when you go there about bathing, because these are the liquid forms of Radha and Krishna. And so you don't just jump in like hurry, hurry, roll, crash. Splash. No, you have to offer your obeisances. And if you can go in such a way that your feet do not go in first, which is a bit tricky, then that's nice. I remember the first time I went there was 1976. And it was all the devotees for the Mayapur Vrindavan festival just after Gaur Purnima. So there's like 500 of us went to Radhakund. And the devotees leading the group, they announced, okay, you can take bath here, but you offer your obeisances, say some prayers, do it very respectfully, don't dive in, don't jump in, don't swim, just take a little dip like that. Okay. And everyone said, right, gotcha. Unfortunately, there's about 40 or 50 Spanish devotees who didn't speak any English whatsoever. So all of us, you know, we then went in very gently. The down at the Spanish end, these devotees, they just jumped in, crash, bang. And when Prabhupada heard about that, Prabhupada said, okay, no more bathing in Radhakund at all. He allowed it after some time, but at that point he started. So then we come around, we're almost finished. And we come around to Kusum Sarova, the lake of flowers. Kusum means flower, Sarova means lake. And this is where Purnamasi dipped Narada Muni into Kusum Sarova. And Narada Muni came out as Narada Dee, a gopi form of Narada Muni. So gentlemen, if you go to Kusum Sarova, be careful. But then later she dipped him in Narada Kundalini, transformed back into Narada Muni. And so we come along. Oh, we come to Gwalpoka. We come to Gwalpoka. Means the lake of the Gwal. Gwal means cowherd boys. And this is famous because one time, Madhu Mangala, he did a Surya Puja for Jatila and Radharani. And Jatila rewarded him with 5,000 laddus. Could you eat 5,000 laddus? Would you like to try? So he had his laddus sort of under his chadar, under his cloth, and he's trying to act nonchalant, like, you know, laddus, I don't have any laddus, I just have a big chadar. And Balaram and the cowboy stopped in that Gwal Poka and said, "What you got there? What you got there?" Madhu Mangal said, "Nothing. None of your business." And the cowboy said, "Come on, show us. You've obviously got something there." And Madhu Mangal said, "It is prasadam. And people like yourselves should not even see it. Because if you see it, you may contaminate it, let alone touch it. So go away. Go away." You know, Papa Sarati Maharaj told me a story many years ago. He had a young boy staying on his 10th campaign program, as a back in like 1980 or so. This young boy is only 10, 12 years old. And, you know, he was a real lighty, as they say, from chance. You know, five. So, one day they had a bus, they were living on a bus. One day a drunk man came on the bus. And he was just like, really, whew, far gone. And this boy told him, "Go away! Go away!" And Papa Maharaj called him and said, "Listen, don't speak to him like that. You got to tell him to go away nicely." So this boy went out and he said to the drunk man, "Go away nicely." So, yeah. We're away. Oh, yeah, okay, right. So, anyway, the cowherd boys attacked Madhu Mangala. One of them pulled out the back of his dhoti, you know, this crown that most men have that comes out of the back and tucks in. One of the boys pulled out that. Another boy pulled out the part from the front. Another boy pulled out the knot in his sika. Another boy stole his cane. Because Madhu Mangala, he has one leg shorter than the other. So he uses like a cane or walking stick. So someone pulled out his cane and then they grabbed each other and grabbed the laddus. Oh! And poor Madhu Mangala was so upset. He got so upset. He was just screaming at them and making like grunting sounds. And he told them, "You are just degraded flesh eaten." Anyway, Balaram pacified the boys, and then they shared the laddus. And again, they all lived happily ever after. And then we come around again to Manasi Ganga. And we finish our Govinda Parikrama. just in time to do Govardhana Puja. Shri Govardhana.